welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
It's just good to be in the house of the Lord just one more time, isn't it? Thanks to my wonderful colleague, Minister Lingham. He laid it on pretty good. I had to look to make sure he was talking about me. You know, sometimes kind words encourage us along the way. But it's not us to impress you. It's the what God wants to do in me. And I want to be pleasing in his sight. So I'm grateful for all the accolades. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he took a wretch like me and made something out of nothing. And I'm grateful for that today. Stand on your feet, if you will, briefly. Very familiar passage of scripture coming from Luke, the 15th chapter. You all know it. Luke 15, I'm beginning at verse 11. Read down to the 14th verse. Luke 15, I'll be reading from the NIV. When you have it, say amen. Amen. And it reads as follows. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the young son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth, and while living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the land, that whole country, and he began to be in need." You can take your seat. If I had to sign a theme, think with me on this. Have we lost our way? Have we lost our way? I thought about how a blind person may appear to have lost their way, but oftentimes they can see better than those of us who have good eyesight. They use a stick to move around objects that may impede their progress. But on the other hand, there are those of us that can still see are still stumbling over objects. It might be objects of jealousy, objects of pride, objects of just trying to keep up with the Joneses versus keeping up with God. I'm reminded of a blind gospel singer. His name is Eric Ricky McKinney. His motto is, "I'm not blind, I just can't see." And what that means is that he has lost his sight, but not his direction. He continues to share his faith through his music. Yesterday at the homegoing service, and I thought about what I was going to share with you today, and Edna Teets got up. She poured out her heart. I don't think she could see any of y'all. But I know what was in her heart. She told you about the founder and the way that she knew about the founder and everything that she was able to accomplish. She couldn't see her, but I know she knew her. That's the same way that it is with God. That's why God, he don't look on the outside. God looks on the inside. He looks at your heart. So I thought about that today. When I thought and read this text, you see, all we are in search of is what we call a new beginning, a fresh start. Sometimes it's called a do-over. So what have we learned about ourselves in the past years? And what have we learned about each other that we can implement a strategy to strengthen our families, our communities, and our outgoing walk in the kingdom of God? I'm reminded of a book my former pastor, Charles Kwan, wrote. His book was titled, "It's Not Where You Start, But Where You Finish." Kwan states in the book that the power of God that is working in the world is sometimes overlooked because of poverty, sometimes overlooked because of dysfunctional families, sometimes overlooked because of violence. But God can intercede in any life and turn any life around, regardless of your situation. Just look at yourself, say, "That's me. That's me." See, our story in the text of the prodigal son, a lost son, has a way of reminding us how a person or persons can lose their way. As I recount the recent events which took place in our country, they have a way of reminding us how far we still are. And the relevant question in view is, have we lost our way? When a gunman waving an assault rifle in El Paso, Texas, can go into a Walmart shopping center and kill 20 people on a Saturday morning, you have to ask yourself, have we lost our way? When a few hours later in Dayton, Ohio, a man wearing a mask and body armor can go on a killing spree, killing 9 people, have we lost our way? When the headlines in our newspaper read, 2 days, 2 mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, just another weekend in America, have we lost our way? See, it's interesting that in response to mass violence, so many people struggle to find ways to put on a brave face or to deflect the real issue. Just recently in the Times Square, they say a motorcycle backfired. The people thought it was another mass shooting, and they scattered and ran for cover. We have to ask ourselves, have we lost our way? What is God trying to say to us? The horrific violence which occur across this country can cause a person to be depressed every day you wake up, whether or not you're going to be safe. We just had an announcement this morning to make sure that we know what to do if we're in a situation like that. The word of God says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," he said, "then and only then we will hear from heaven and he will heal our land." Even though these events were heartbreaking and devastating, words alone cannot explain. I would suggest to you that the father in our story today had the same displeasures. It seems like something always has to happen to bring us to a state of oneness. We have to stop allowing events to dictate how we will respond. We do. We come together on weddings. We come together on funerals. Come together on family reunions. Come together on birthdays. What about just everyday occurrences? Just pick up the phone and tell somebody you love them. Tell somebody you're praying for them. "Pastor, I'm praying for you. I know you look forward to Sunday, but I know through the rest of the week there are things that go on in our lives." That's the same thing that happened to each and every one of us. God's word says, "And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and good deeds." See, Luke recounts that there were two groups of people who came to listen to Jesus that day. There were the tax collectors and there were the sinners, who were a symbolic representation of the younger son. They did not observe the moral laws of the Bible. engaged in wild living. Like the younger son, they too left home by leaving the traditional morality of their families and society. Sometimes you can be in the house, but out of the house. Sometimes you can be in the place, but not in the right place. That's how it works. That's because that's where you want it to be. The second group of listeners are the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They were a representation of the elder son. They held the traditional morality of the upbringing. They studied and obeyed the scriptures. They worshiped faithfully and prayed constantly. In this story, the father represents Jesus. And through this parable, Jesus is saying that both the irreligious and the religious are spiritually lost. They both are lost. Just because you come to church, that don't mean that you ain't lost. Sometimes you are sitting there with a nasty attitude, so why did you even come anyway? That's Bible. I'm only here because my mama said I need to go to church this morning. I ain't been to church in years. I don't even know how to act in church. But because mama said she ain't gonna cook unless I go to church, that was enough motivation for me to be in church. That's the wrong reason. Y'all gonna pray with me this morning? Let's look at our text. Verse 12, it says, the young one said to his father, "Give me my share of the inheritance." The younger son asked for his inheritance, which was a sign of deep disrespect. To ask one's father for one's share of his inheritance early was unheard of in antiquity. In effect, one would be saying, "Father, I wish you were already dead." In other words, the younger son was saying, "I want my father's things, but not my father's love." The father's response was not typical of a traditional Mideastern father. Nor was it one of the 21st century either. I was raised by my grandfather. If I'd have told my grandfather to give me my inheritance, my grandfather would say, "Boy, I know you done lost your mind." It would have been more than a backhand. It would have been more than a backhand. The wealth of the father would primarily have been tied up in real estate. Therefore, he had to sell a great deal of his inheritance, the land holdings, in order to do what the son asked him to do. This young son is asking his father to tear his life apart. And the father does so for the love of his son. Isn't that way that how God, he tore his life apart? Because he loved us so much that he wanted to reconcile us back to him. I see a lot of similarities with the father in our story and us. You may say you don't see him, but I do. Sometimes as parents, we have made our children feel like that they have a sense of entitlement. We have already given them everything they say they want. Our teenagers have a pair of sneakers for every outfit they put on. They are all possession of every latest technology out there on the market. Whether it's iPhone 10, iPhone S, iPhone XR, iPhone 11, they got everything. And if I check the record, I don't even think none of them work anywhere. So you've already given them their inheritance. They didn't even have to ask you for it. And you say, "Reb, this is just to help keep them out of trouble. Keep them from doing things." Well, again, I go back to my days, and my grandmama said, "Boy, you ain't getting nothing out of here unless you work for it. I don't care how many of your friends got it. They own everything. Latest video games, Xbox One, Xbox Two, PlayStation 1, 2, 3, and 4, PS3, PS4, everything. What's wrong with us?" That's why the question, have you lost your mind? That's what we have to understand. We need to understand that every family has trials and tribulations. We are all messed up in a variety of ways. We have arguments, disagreements, and we don't always see eye to eye. But families are also our shelter from the storm, our oldest and most precious institution, and our late last great hope. We need each other. We need each other. But we need each other in the right way. Even our community around us are changing, but we still need each other. We need to know how to embrace those things. In verse 13, you see our children will make decisions that will not always line up with our way of thinking. But this is when we will have to be like the Philadelphia 76ers. Trust the process. So the son goes off to a far country and squanders everything he has throughout an out of control lifestyle. Every pleasure he had once dreamed about was now filled with the overflowing of evil he had envisioned. But there are always those of us who are determined to have our own way when facing distasteful consequences, destitute, hopelessness, and with a life lying in ruins all around him, he still was not quite ready to go back home. Sometimes we leave home for the wrong reasons. Sometimes as Christians, we behave just like this young son, surrounded by chaos, surrounded by confusion, deceitfulness, evil, yet we are still not ready to come home. How many of us can identify with the younger son? God gave us everything, yet that still was not enough. You look at the different chances, how many times God has given you chance after chance to get your life together. You say, I'm not ready, God. I'm still out having a good time. He said, get your life together. See, we can't see down the road and around the corner, but God can. He already knows what we're going to be confronted with. That's why when I opened my text, I told you about a person that's blind. See, you can see, but you're really blind. Because if you could see, you wouldn't still do the same thing that you're doing. That's why I know you're blind. And if you say, Rabbi, I can see, then something is wrong with your brainwave. That you're still doing the same thing over and over again. Because if you're doing the same thing over and over again, that's insanity. Something is definitely wrong with your brainwave. So here are the points that I want you to take away from the text. I'm almost done. That's what preachers always say, right? The first point I want you to walk away with is be willing to admit you're wrong. Be willing to admit you're wrong. Why is it so hard to admit you're wrong? Because mistakes can be hard to digest. So sometimes we double down rather than face them. Alexander Pope famously wrote, to err is human, to forgive is divine. Part of forgiving, of course, is forgiving yourself. That's the first place you got to start. Forgive yourself. But making this known to others in the form of an admission can seem like an impossible demand. See, God will forgive the sins, even the most deprived of his people, only if they can bring themselves to forgive those who have wronged them. So here's that. That's the sticky part. You can forgive yourself, but God says that you got to forgive those who have wronged you. And if you can't forgive them, then how are you going to forgive yourself? That still is with you. This teaching is recited by Christians daily in the prayers Jesus taught. Forgiveness of the other is a condition for one's own forgiveness by God. When he came to himself, the son, awakened by this deteriorating and humiliating condition, he concluded that being a servant in his father's house was better than being what Dr. Gordon C. Taylor refers to as a prince in the pig pen. You know, when you make life choices, When you look at where you used to live, you had a roof over your head. Now you're living from sofa to sofa, chair to chair, and sometimes outside. So you left a prince, a peaceful lifestyle, for one that you chose. This is what this young man did in this story. He says he's a prince in a pig pen. See, God is a God of another chance, not a second chance, another chance. Because if he's only of a second chance, then you done ran out of your chances. I would venture to say that this young man resembles the characters in The Wizard of Oz, in that the young man had the courage to leave home that was lacking in the lion. He obviously did have a heart because he broke his father's heart. And finally, what son would leave the riches of life and become poor? This is a clear sign of a brain not functioning. You are as wealthy as can be. You live what your father has had and inherited to become poor. Because remember, the young man is in the pig pen. He's eating all kind of stuff. Nobody forced him to do that. That's the choice that he made. It's amazing how unknowingly we can move in a direction in which we thought we chose, but our steps are really still ordered and ordained by the Lord. See, God will allow you to make those decisions. God will allow you to pick. When you go to the store to pick out that dress, he said, go ahead and pick it out. He done already told you it's too tight on you. But you determined to pick it out. And so when you go out in public, nobody says nothing publicly, but underneath they're talking about you. But he told you when you got ready to pick it out, that wasn't your size. But you was okay with that. You was okay with that. And men, it's the same thing with us. We go and get those shoes that we see. They told you they didn't have a wide, but you thought the narrow would work. And now you sitting in church crossing your legs, got your feet all up, trying to relax. But God let you pick them shoes, didn't he? Because you thought they were so cute. Didn't you know that anything that hurt your feet, you don't need? There's no way you can be comfortable. I don't care how cute you are miserable. When your feet hurt, everything hurt. And I know you can't give God no praise with no hurting shoes. Don't put your shoes on now. I see people trying to put their shoes on now. Don't put your shoes on. Forgive me, Lord, that ain't in my notes. Be willing to admit that you're wrong. Here's the second point. No matter how embarrassed one may be, have the courage to go home. You see, going home, humbling himself, confessing that he has been wrong, reconciling all rights to his position as a son, and working as a hired servant in an outcast role while he labored to make restitution. All of that by the Pharisees' way of thinking was exactly what the boy really needed to do. So you remember early on, I told you the Pharisees, they said, you know, that boy done left your house, you need to punish him. Because for them, what the boy did towards the father was unforgivable. So now that is, he is coming home. They want the boy to get exactly what he wants. Let me pause here to let you think about something. You have to make what decision that you need to make. You can't listen to your friends. You can't listen to them. You have too many people telling you when they say, well, you know, I'm gonna leave that man. And your girlfriend say, yeah, leave him. That's a trap. That's a trap. Because once you leave him, guess what? She said, well, he wasn't that bad. He was just bad with you. Don't you fall into that. So this is what the Pharisees are telling him. Because for them, what the boy did was unforgivable. The only question was how and how much the father would punish the boy to save his own honor and to shame the son in the way that he deserved. See, when the young boy comes within sight of the house, he probably had been rehearsing his speech over and over again for days of what he was going to say to his father. But the father sees him and takes off in a sprint towards him. The son's life was now completely dependent on the mercy of the father. Now here's what I want you to understand, that now a general rule is a distinguished Middle Eastern parishioner would not have run. He would not have run in that day. He would not have pulled up his skirt because he had what I got on and bared his legs. He didn't care who was watching, who was on the porch. He saw his son that was lost making his way back home. So when he saw his son make that way, he was on the porch. He pulled up his skirt. He bared his legs. He went into a sprint that you wouldn't believe because his son that was lost was now coming home. And we have to understand, don't let somebody else tell you what to do. God has already purposed in your heart. You have to forgive yourself in order for others to be forgiven. So this Middle Eastern man pulled up his skirt, went on a sprint to see his son and welcome him back home. And that's why the text continues to tell us what this father really did. The father said, quickly bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. The best robe in the house would have been daddy's robe. He said, just give him my robe because he's on his way back home. He said, slaves, they went around bare feet. He said, my son, he's not a slave. Put sandals on his feet. He gave him the insignia ring because he wanted him to know that the uplands of the father. He said, son, I know I gave you your inheritance, but I'm going to give you much more because you made your way back home. How many of us have to understand that God loves us despite our sinfulness, despite our nastiness? This is the God that we serve to have shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, he says, and kill it. Remember, meat was a delicatessen. You only brought out the meat when you had a party, when you brought the dignitaries in. He said, it's my son. Kill the fatted calf. We're getting ready to have a celebration. This was truly a feast of celebration. He returned home sorrowfully and to his surprise was received with open arms by his father. God will welcome us with open arms. The faithfulness of the father brought the possibility of healing to a broken home. The amazing grace of God set the stage for healing broken people, restoring broken relationships, and setting the stage for a future new possibility. You see, the Christian life for us is not without some pain. It marks us and places us in view to be a beacon of light beckoning the wayward and the lost and those who are disturbed, a place of comfort to come in. I'm almost done, but I got to tell you a story. This is a story about a young man that was getting ready to graduate from college. He had admired a sports car in his dealer's showroom for months. He told his father, he said, that's all I want. So the boy would look for signs as graduation day got closer that his father had purchased this sports car. So on graduation morning, the father calls the son into the study. The father says to the son, he tells him how much he loves him and how proud of him he is. Then he reached behind his back and gave him a gift box, a beautiful wrapped gift box. The son was curious but disappointed. He opened the box, and in the box was a Bible. It's a beautiful leather-bound Bible. The boy slammed the book down. Angrily, he raised his voice to his father and said, "With all your money, you give me a Bible." Many years later, the son goes off and becomes a very successful businessman. He's got a beautiful home, beautiful family. He realizes that his father is now getting old, and he says to himself that I need to go home and see my daddy. When he realized that, it was too late. He got a telegram. The telegram said, "Your father has passed. Come home quickly and make all the necessary arrangements." The boy made his way home, and as he went through the house, he sat down at his father's desk. He was looking through the important papers, and there he saw the Bible, just like he left it. He opened the Bible up and started reading it. And then from the back of the Bible was an envelope that had a key in it. It dropped on the floor. He picked the key up. The key had his graduation date. It had the same dealer name of the place that he looked for the car, and it had these words: "Paid in full." How many times do we see or we miss God's blessing because they are packaged differently, but they're paid in full? How many times have our parents made sacrifices that we were not aware of, but it was paid in full? How many times did mama go without or daddy go without so you can get what you want because it was paid in full? How many times has God overlooked your nastiness but still gives you all your hopes and dreams because it's paid in full? I want you to know that God would go beyond what you think you need. God would give you what you stand in the need of. All he says that you have to disrobe yourself. He say, just remember that the greater that is in us than he that is in the whole world. God will overlook everything. God will forgive you of your sins. God just had his hands reached out. He said, come unto me that rest and labor. I'll give you rest. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we serve because everything that he's done is paid in full. He sent his son to die on Calvary cross because it's paid in full. You can't die again. I can't die again because God said that death was sufficient for me because it's the shed blood of Jesus Christ because it's all paid in full. We have to love God because God loves us just as we are. Stop trying to be something that you're not. Stop trying to pretend that you can be more than you are. God will love you just as you are because everything that he's given us is paid in full. Thus, I have concluded from this parable. We are never lost as long as we have Christ. There may be times we experience lost opportunities, lost relationships. Sometimes we're lost for words, lost in the moment, lost ambitions, lost in our pursuit of excellence, but we're never lost in God. You see, God is always willing and waiting to receive us just as we are. So the question remains, have we lost our way? Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man, no woman can come to the Father except by me. We have to understand that there is no evil that the Father's love cannot pardon. We thank God for fathers who have stood their grounds under harsh circumstances, who even with hurting hands and sometimes heavy hearts, chose to love their children rather than to leave them. Stand on your feet today. There may be somebody here that want to come to the Lord. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, he says salvation is yours. We open the doors for anybody. You can come by letter. You can come on your Christian experience. If you're in a backsliding condition, you can still come. The question you have to ask yourself, have you lost your way? We're just trying to allow you to come back home. What do you mean, preacher? I never went to church. Well, that's why we want you to come home. This is your home. This is your birthing place. There's something that's bubbling up inside of you that God is saying, if you just come back home, we'll nurture you. We'll help you see where you are. That's why you're struggling so hard. That's why they're treating you like they treat you at that job, because you ain't got no prayer life. You got to have some type of discipline. You got to have a place where you can go and feel refreshed. Is there one today? Is there one? What are they saying? Come on, choir. Come on. We'll wait on you. Is there one? You say, Reb, well, I found a barbershop, but I haven't found a church home. You need a launching pad. You really do. You need to be in a place where people will love you no matter where you are. He's here. Come on, y'all. He's here. He's here. He's here.